Let us look into how redemption is sweet to those who are in Christ Jesus. If you have your Bibles this morning, let us turn to the book of Ephesians. The chapter is 1. The book of Ephesians and the chapter is 1. And as we look at this very crucial subject of redemption, we want to be clear that it is something that we all need to recognize and understand of what the great gift God has given to us. In Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse number 7, the Bible says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his graces, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth in him." When we read the scriptures, it is very clear that in order for us to be able to take advantage of the blessings of God, we will have to go through this process, which is called being redeemed. And it's also clear from the scriptures that the only one, the only person that is able to redeem us is our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Over in the book of Hebrews chapter 9, beginning at verse number 11, the Bible says this, "But Christ came as a high priest of good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption." You see, what Christ did for us is that he offered up himself in place of all those temporal sacrifices that were made, those sacrifices that could not truly set us free. But he himself offered himself up by the shedding of his blood that he might purchase us, that is to redeem us and set us free from the grip of sin. And because now the scriptures declare that we were all slaves in sin, and being that we were in bondage to sin, we needed that Redeemer to come and to set us free. That's why over in Romans chapter 6, and beginning at verse number 17, the Bible says this, "But God be thanked that though you were slaves to sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves to righteousness." Now, this scripture right here, what it does, it lets us know what state we were in when we were separated from God. We were slaves to sin. But then it lets us know what state we are in when we are reunited with God. We are freed from sin. But I want you to notice something. In both of these cases, we are still considered slaves. We were slaves to sin at one point, and as the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 6 and 23, that leads to death. For the wages of sin is what? Is death. But then it tells us that we are now slaves to righteousness, which leads to eternal life. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 22, it says, but now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves to God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. But before we can get there, we have to be redeemed. And we have to be redeemed by a benefactor who is willing to purchase us. Now, anybody knows that when you purchase something, there's always a price that has to be paid. You know, when you go to the store and you look at items that you want to buy, there's usually a price that you have to pay in order to purchase that item. That's those of us who know that you got to buy stuff and not just take it, all right? So when you go to that store, you know that there's a price that has to be paid for the thing that you want. And the price that you pay depends on the value that you place on that item. For example, if you go to a car dealership and you're getting ready to buy a car, they have the price on there, but you know you always want to haggle a little bit with them. Well, can I get that for $1,000 less, maybe $1,500 less? And then here comes the dealer, and he's looking at you saying, oh, you know, I got an aftermarket price, and I have to do this, and you're haggling back and forth. Well, depending on how much value you put on that car, whether you want it or not, is what you are going to pay or purchase it for. Well, look at this. Our Lord was willing to pay the ultimate price to purchase us. Our value to him was so great that he was willing to pay the ultimate price to purchase us. There was no price that was above what he would say, forget about it. He valued you and me that much that he gave his blood and his life for you and me. The purchase price was not too high for him, but yet he did it to save our souls. He was willing and he was able to buy our freedom and set us free from the hold of sin. And now, because he did that, we now owe him a debt of love and a debt of obedience. That's why the Apostle Paul was saying, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse number 19. He says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, he says, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I want you to understand this point here. We are the purchased item. But remember, we did come with some baggage. Our sin. When he purchased us, we came with some baggage. And that sin that we had to be removed from us in order for us to be able to enter into the kingdom of God. Once again, in Galatians chapter 5 and beginning at verse 19, the Apostle Paul would say, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries. And I like what he says here. He says, and the like. You see, that's just in case he didn't come down your street with the rest of the stuff. And he says, and the like. Anything associated with it. He says, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So you see, sin has to be removed from our lives in order for us to be able to take advantage of this blessing and the love of God which he has waiting for us. Go back to the text in Ephesians chapter 1, and I want us to take a look at verse number 7. Notice he says here, in him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. You see, that word riches of his grace, that tells us that God has an abundant supply of mercy and love to give to us. And he showed us that love by giving the most precious gift of all, and that being his son. In John chapter 3 and verse number 16, the Bible says, so God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And in doing so, in giving us this gift, he gives us the gift of redemption so that we might be reconciled to him, not him reconciled to us, but us reconciled to him, so that we might be spared from the wrath and receive eternal life. And then in verse number 8 of Ephesians chapter 1, he says, which he made abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence. You see that word prudence? It translates into the word of understanding. And then in verse 9, he says, having known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he proposed in himself. You see, God has always made it known to us what it is that he proposed to do and what he will do for you and I. That's why in verse number 10, it says that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. At some point, the apostle is letting us know that all things will come together. When the grace of God is given to us and the redemption price is paid and we are then redeemed, all things that God has proposed for us, all the blessings that he has in heaven and in earth will belong to us. And then in verse number 11 and verse number 12, he says, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of him, his glory. This word predestined, a word that is used or foreordained, what we are to understand from this is that God had designed a plan for us. He had designed a plan which all of creation will be able to benefit from. And as long as we are willing to be able to accept it and accept it according to his will, we will be able to benefit from what God has presupposed, which he predestined and foreordained for us. Because the Bible teaches us that God calls all of us to righteousness because it is not his desire for any of us to be lost. I believe it's over in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9. The Bible says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men call slackness, but is long-suffering towards us. That means he's patient. He's patient towards us, that he is not willing that any should perish, but all come and should come to repentance. So God, before the beginning of time, he set a plan up for you and I so that we can come and be a part of his wonderful kingdom, the church that Jesus built. So, since God has designed this plan in order for us to be saved, we now, those of us who are redeemed by the blood of Christ, we now receive those wonderful blessings and promises that is guaranteed and a guarantee of our salvation. Look at verse number 13. Look at what it says here. He says, in him you also trusted, after you heard the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, right? And hearing by the word of God. So he says, you trusted now, because that's what faith is. We put our trust in God. So now he said, you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is our guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Notice now, the scripture says that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. And that gives us a guarantee that when the time comes and the purchased possession, that's us, is truly redeemed by God, we will receive the promise of the inheritance that is waiting for us in heaven. And think about this idea of being sealed. You ever get a package that's sealed up from the post office? And it might have your name on it because the only one that is supposed to open it is you. And if it's sealed up and the seal is cracked, you know somebody unauthorized opened that package. Well, when we come into the body of Christ, the Holy Spirit is like sealing us up. And he puts us in that protective state, and the only one that can unseal it is God. We are now the church that Jesus built. We are that sealed product. We are in Christ. The Holy Spirit becomes our guarantee that as long as we stay in Christ, we someday will be redeemed, that purchased item, by God in heaven. Because when the church makes it there, God will do the unsealing, and we will be in that place where God wants us to be. That's why we talk about when we are baptized into Christ. Look at what Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And old verse number 13 tells us. He says about those who are the redeemed, about those who are in the church. He says he has delivered us from the power of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So we the church, we are that sealed product. We are that guaranteed people by the Holy Spirit that when the time comes, as he says, when the purchased possession reaches heaven, then God will do the unsealing and we will be in that eternal glory. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 24, The Bible says, then comes the end. When he delivers up the kingdom to God, God the Father, when he puts all end of rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. So Christ is going to take the church and he's going to deliver it to God. And then we will forever be in his presence. Now I want you to understand something here. When we talk about this word redemption, understand that God has done his part in the redemption scheme. And now it comes to us in order for us to do our part in this redemption scheme. So what is it that we must do in order that we might be able to take advantage of what God has done for us? Remember, he did his part. Jesus Christ came, he died for our sins, shed his blood on the cross. He made it possible for us to come to him. But now what is it that we need to do in order to take advantage of this wonderful gift of God? Well, in Romans chapter 6, once again, and looking at verse number 17, look what it says again. I know we already read it, let's read it again. He says, but God be thanked. And why is God thanked? Because God has already done his part, okay? But he says, God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet, he says, you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. You see, the key here is that obedience to God's word is the key to our accepting God's gift. Notice what he says. He says that you obeyed from the heart. You see, when we obey God, it must come from the right place. That is from the heart. And what is the heart? Well, the Bible heart is that inner spiritual man. It is our the totality of man, the intellect of man, and it is all of man's will. So, when we talk about being obedient from the heart, what it's going to require from you and I is that our whole mind, that our whole will, and that all of our whole of affections enter into the service of God. And when that is being done, you are truly being obedient to God's words. Now, what are we to be obedient to? Well, if you look at the text back over in Romans there, he says something was delivered. And what we have been delivered is what we need to obey. So, something was delivered to us that delivered us from sin. And what was that? Well, it says it was the doctrine, the teaching. And what was that teaching? Well, they came teaching about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In other words, the gospel message. It is the good news about a Savior who came and died for your sins. And in doing so, he set us free from the shame of sin. And all those who will be saved then and now we'll have to come to him by faith and obedience to his commands and remain faithful to him so that we might enjoy the blessings of eternal life one day. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 9, the Bible says, and having been perfected, that is Christ, he became the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. So then our part of salvation in this whole plan is to be obedient to his words. But know this, God will not force redemption on you. He's not going to do it. He's not going to force redemption on you. But what you have to understand is this, is that the purchase price of our Lord paid for us. And what it did, it opened the door to salvation. But you still have to walk out of those prisons, cell of sin, in order for you to be blessed by the price in which he paid for you. You see, we were chained up. We were locked down. But Christ came and broke the chains that held us captive. And now we can walk out from that prison cell unshackled and free. But know this, that freedom is of little value if you decide to stay in bondage. Because by not accepting this offer of freedom, you are choosing to remain in sin. And if you remain in sin, eternal damnation will be your ultimate end. So, I want also for us to be aware that even for those of us who have accepted the gift of God, if we go back into bondage, then the gift of God is no effect to you. That's why Paul warns us in Galatians chapter 5. He warns us and encourages us. In Galatians chapter 5, he tells us to stand fast. That is to adhere to and to not let go. But he says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And he says, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. In other words, once you're free, don't go back. Don't go back. Stand strong. Stand fast. Because we as Christians today, we need to stand strong. We need to continue to hold to God's unchanging hand because we have been redeemed and salvation is ours. That's why I appreciated those songs that Brother Jack sung this morning. He said that we can sing those songs, those of us who have been redeemed, we can sing those songs with some meaning and some feeling because of what God has did for us. Oh, that one verse that says, I'm redeemed by love divine, glory, glory, Christ is mine, all to him I now resign. Why? Because I have been redeemed. And you know, the reason why I have to be redeemed is because of another song that we sing. It says that I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters he lifted me. Now safe am I. You know why? Because of the love of God. Because of the love of Christ dying for my sins, I can say that I'm free. You know, the sweetness of redemption is knowing that we are no longer condemned by our sins, but we are set free. In Romans chapter 8, and I believe it's verse number 1, he says, we are no longer in condemnation in Christ Jesus. Those who walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. We can say we're free. And we're free because Jesus died for you and me. Now, there might be some here who can't sing that song. There might be some here who have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. and have not done all that they need to do in order to come and be a part of God's kingdom. Now, I want to take some time to tell you what you need to do, because that might be a question on your mind this morning. Preacher, I have heard all of this about redemption. I understand that I have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is it that I need to do? Well, you ask the same question as many asked in the Bible. What must I do to be saved? Well, the first thing we always point you to, and as we talked about that a little bit, that you need to hear the word of God. That's why Romans chapter 10, verse number 17, it says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's what you need to hear. You don't need to hear the opinions of men or anything else that anybody got to say about, oh, this is what you do to be saved. Just hear the word of God and it will direct you. So then it says, faith comes by hearing, belief. In Hebrews chapter 11 in verse number 6, the Bible says that it is impossible to please God, right? Unless you have faith. Brother, somebody get that for me real quick. You got your Bible out there? Let me borrow your Bible for a minute. That's right. Without faith, it says, it is impossible to please God. For he who cometh to God must believe that he is, correct? And that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Thanks, bro. Now, I want you to hear those words real quick, right? It is impossible to please God without faith. Because when you come to God and diligently seek him, that is, look for what it is that God would have you to do, the Bible says that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. And what is that reward? Eternal life. If you come to seek him, your reward is his blessings and eternal life. So now you believe in him, all right? What else do I need to do? Well, the Bible says you need to repent of your sins. And why do I need to repent of my sins? Because you can't get into the kingdom of God carrying your sins with you. You go over and read Galatians chapter 5 sometimes, and Paul talked about all those many sins that must be eradicated from our lives before we can enter into the kingdom of God. Over in 2 Corinthians, chapter 7, verse number 10. It says that godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted of. So the next step you have to do, you have to repent of your sin. You have to come to God recognizing that you are a sinner, recognizing that you have wronged God, and the shame of the things that you have done. And I'm ready to change my life, and I'm asking God to forgive me of my sins. And you know what God would do? He'll forgive you. But first, he says, in order for you to get forgiveness, you're going to have to confess my son, Jesus Christ. Why? It's because he's the one who died for you. Jesus himself was saying in Matthew chapter 10, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. He said, but if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. Why do we need to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Because he's the one that died for you. And then once that confession is made, once you realize that, yes, I want Jesus. Yes, he's the one that died for my sin. Yes, I believe in you. Then he says, if you love me, then keep my commandments. So what's my next step? I need to be baptized. I need to be immersed in water. Why? Peter says it's for the remission of your sins. Jesus says, he that believeth and is baptized, Mark 16 and 16, shall be saved. If you believe in God, if you want your sins forgiven, if you confess Jesus as Lord, then you need to obey his commands. That's what you need to do. It's nothing hard about this. But the hard part is, are you willing to do it? And if you have the heart to do it. We have a song selected this morning. We call it the invitation song. This gives you the opportunity to come and obey God's will. Because this is what God would have you to do, and this is what we want you to do, so that you become a part of this wonderful kingdom of God, the Church of Christ, and be on your way to eternal glory. And for those of you who may have swayed away from the Word of God, who have walked away from the Lord, who may be walking down a dangerous path, you once was there, why don't you come back, ask for prayer, rededicate your life to Christ so that you too could be on that straight and narrow path on your way to eternal glory. Brother Jack, you got that song ready for us? All right, let us stand and sing. And if you are subject to the invitation, step on out here, come to the front. We might take your request.